MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, this is of some concern. Ultra-rare diseases, treatments costing millions per patient per month, are threatening the survival of South Africa's medical aid schemes. Smaller schemes face a brutal choice: fund these life-saving medicines and risk collapse, or deny members access. Now, the Board of Healthcare Funders says it has a solution, a cell-captive arrangement that pools risk across schemes. I want to talk now to the head of research at the BHF, Charlton Morove. Charlton, first of all, maybe just by way of context, give me an example of an ultra-rare disease. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so based on my understanding, as a non-clinician, these are very rare diseases. They okay, maybe once in a million population. And most of them, the ones where treatment is of concern, treatment is often in a drug which is administered. They call it enzyme replacement therapy. So the way the drugs are produced, it's very expensive because they say it's plant-based. It's not like your chemical processes. And obviously, there are not enough volumes, so producing the drugs becomes more expensive. Now, examples are Gaucher's disease. I know that treatment can cost up to 5 million per year. Then there's one which was in the media recently, epilepsy, where treatment costs up to 6 million rand per year. So there are a few examples of these conditions which need very expensive medicines.
And explain to me why these costs pose such a unique threat to smaller schemes.
So schemes work on what people commonly call pay-as-you-go basis. Money collected within one financial year, over 90% of it is used to pay for claims in that financial year. The balance goes through administration expenses. Then the cycle keeps on going. So there isn't a pool of money which is set aside to cater for treatments. It's almost a budget basis. What you collect is what you spend. So for smaller schemes, you'll find that some of them rarely collect contributions in excess of 50 million rands per year. So if they were to find treatment for one of these, it then becomes a very big portion of what is actually collected.
And what happens to families then if the scheme can't carry the cost? The consequences could be catastrophic, disastrous.
Yes, I think these treatments are often life-saving. The difference between life and death, and they are needed. And when the scheme can't fund, then it's a big challenge for the families.
So in plain terms then, how would a cell captive arrangement work? What is the proposal on the table here?
Yeah, so when we initiated the project, we saw the challenges that the schemes were facing. In traditional financial markets, there's often reinsurance which is available to your normal insurers, where an insurance company takes out its own insurance, not its reinsurance, so that they can deal with catastrophic expenditure. I think an example is the Durban floods, for instance. The insurers then managed to survive because they had some form of protection. So in the medical schemes, there is provision for schemes to utilize reinsurance, but this hasn't really been happening. It's historical. So one of the challenges with reinsurance is you pass on underwriting profit to the reinsurer. So we wanted a solution which kept funds within the medical schemes environment rather than passing it on. So the proposal we have, schemes pull money together, and then if there is need for funding this treatment, it's paid from that single pool. And at the end of the year, whatever is left over is shared amongst the participating schemes. So it's a much more sustainable way of funding for these red treatments without losing any underwriting profit to an insurer.
Would members end up paying higher contributions under the model that you're proposing?
On the contrary, no. So the fact that they are now pulling funds together to fund for this treatment, it makes it more sustainable. for all the funders, because as it stands, they do keep a lot of reserves, even higher than the required margins, so that they can pay for these rare, expensive medicines if they do need to arise. But if we have this funding vehicle in place, the need for the excess reserves will be reduced. Then introducing the cell captive arrangement has got other downstream arrangements in that it standardizes how funds fund for these treatments, which adds on to several costs down the line. For instance, the rules which the cell captive will operate when funding treatment for the disease, there will be none in advance, there will be public knowledge. So there isn't much motivation over and above than what is published that will be needed. So it makes it easier even to bring in newer treatments into the country, because they will know how the rules operate. As it stands, when you have pharmaceutical age, you want to bring in new treatment, you have to go and motivate at the various schemes on why that treatment is useful. That adds on to the costs of bringing the product onto the market.
Just a quick answer in conclusion then. Where does the Council for Medical Schemes currently stand on approval?
So we have had engagements with the Council for Medical Schemes, just making them aware of the arrangement and how it works. So what will then need to happen is, once we are done with everything, the schemes are ready, they will have to approach the Council for Medical Schemes with the reinsurance proposal application and show that it is in the best interest of the schemes to have one. Once they do that, then it will be approved and implemented.
Charlton Morove, thank you very much indeed. Head of Research at the Board of Healthcare Funders.